The Celtics are being really cautious with Kemba Walker's knee. Some players in the bubble might not be very cautious at all. And Marcus Smart has lots of love for Kara Lawson. It's a Monday. Locked On Celtics. Millie, let's go. Rainy J's back with the vengeance back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, it's the best way. Melly. John Corrales here from MassLive.com. Thank you once again for joining this podcast regular basis, Monday through Friday, making the show part of your daily routine. Very excited that you keep doing that, whether you're driving to work, if you're able to drive to work, if you're at the gym, gyms are back open in Massachusetts, if you're whatever you're doing in the shower, wherever you're listening, at home, in your home office, very much appreciated. So like I said at the open, later on, Kara Lawson becomes the Duke women's head basketball coach. So I'll talk about that. And in the middle, the second segment, I'm seeing these things on social media that suggest that all of the stuff that I was talking about players having to be responsible, yeah, I'm a lot less confident about that. Suddenly, I feel a lot less confident about the bubble. First, Kemba Walker. And how the Celtics are handling his knee. Talked about that a little bit already, but it keeps coming up. Now, I talked a little bit about this, by the way. You should go check out the Monday Locked On NBA. Get that next, just right now while you're listening to this. Go to your device, whatever it is, and then have the Locked On NBA podcast up next. Because I joined Josh Lloyd for the entire thing, the entire Monday show, to talk about the Celtics, to talk about Kemba's knee, to talk about Jason Tatum and his progression and what we can expect from him in the bubble and some players to watch in the NBA in general. That's all part of the Locked On NBA podcast. But I did talk a little bit about Kemba, but here's where we are with Kemba. And it seems like his knee is still good. The knee is good, but clearly the Celtics are afraid that it might not stay good. And I don't know if that speaks to the status of his knee as far as where they think it is, where it's going to be long term. That's something I'm afraid of a little bit now, just a tiny bit. The way they're handling him now, it makes me feel like they're afraid that this is going to be something that he just deals with. And I don't know to what extent. Like, is this something arthritic? What's causing the swelling? What's causing the pain? What's the soreness exactly? And they just characterize it as general knee soreness. But is it, what is it? Is there some debris in there that, over the course of the offseason, they're going to go in, they'll scope it, he'll clean that up, and he'll be fine, then that's fine. That happens to players, and that's not necessarily indicative of anything long-term, anything that lingers, whatever. So if it's one of those things, they're just going to manage it until he can get to a full offseason, and that he didn't do that during the quarantine because he never knew exactly what was going to happen, when the league was going to come back, so he didn't want to have to deal with the surgery and the recovery and miss things. If it's that, then okay, fine. I'm not worried about that at all. But here the Celtics are. They practiced 2 days after coming out of quarantine. The first day was cut short because they were late getting out of quarantine, so half of their court time was cut. The second day they went late, and there was even some kind of discrepancy with the court or whatever. Third day, they go hard. And the third day, which was Sunday, that they went hard, Kemba didn't practice. So they've got a plan. They've got a plan for Kemba Walker. They've got a plan for his knee. And I'm fine with the plan. I'm fine with, all right, well, Kemba's, maybe they're just being overly cautious, and they're going to make sure, they're just making sure that it's strong enough to handle the wear and tear, then that just is what it is. And Kemba said that he needed this time off. Kemba seems to be fine. I mean, there was a video of him out golfing with Jason Tatum. He's out there playing golf. It's not like he's injured. That's not the case. But something has clearly got the Celtics. Something has the Celtics not concerned. They're being overly cautious, or they're handling it with kid gloves, if you want to use that cliche. And the little bit of fear that pops into my head here is this because he has something structurally in that knee that will now cause him soreness from time to time if it's not managed properly? Where in the knee is that soreness? Is it just going to be like tendonitis? Is it going to be like chronic tendonitis? Which is a thing. Like, I still have chronic tendonitis. And, you know, that can affect any player to any level, and I still have it. If I'm out there and not properly taking care of my knees after a run, then I will have soreness in my knees. And my patellar tendons will inflame and be sore, and it'll be difficult for me to walk. That's something that some people just have. Now, is that Kemba? Because that's something that can be managed by strengthening the knee. You strengthen around it. You strengthen the quads. The muscles support the tendon and take some of the shock off of the tendon. If those muscles aren't strong enough, then the tendon does more of the work, and that's what gets it inflamed. That's pretty typical of jumper's knee. That's pretty typical of patellar tendonitis. If he has that, then, you know, then it's anti-inflammatories and strengthening, and he'll be... You know, he'll be okay. He'll manage it. But there are just not enough answers. There's just not enough that lets us in on the exact nature of the soreness, what might be causing the soreness. For now, all we know is Kemba did not practice on Sunday. And the Celtics are going to have a hard practice on Monday. And after that hard practice on Monday, somewhere around noonish, we'll hear from Brad Stevens and some of the players, and hopefully one of those players will be Kemba Walker, and we'll get a few more answers. We'll start to figure out a little bit more about the plan and making sure. It can just be something as simple as the 3 months that he had off were great for getting past the soreness, and he feels great. He feels 100%, but at the same time, we don't want to overload that knee, because part of Kemba's game is that insane change of direction that is just the best change of direction in the league. But stopping on a dime like he does puts pressure on that knee. They want to make sure that when he does that, he's not doing anything that's going to re-injure the knee. So the strengthening, the ramping up, the slow build up to mid-August, coming off of a three-month layoff, maybe they just simply want to be cautious and say, okay, he hasn't played ball in a while. It's great that all that soreness is gone. Now let's make sure that he gets back to speed. And because he's a little bit older than everybody else, then he maybe just needs a couple extra steps. He's not an old guy. He's still, what, 30? So I don't want to make it sound like they're managing, you know, a guy who's a year away from retiring. But because of the soreness, they want to make sure, just make sure. That's where we stand with Kemba. Up next, I want to talk about already some of the craziness. Not even one week into the bubble, some of the craziness that's going on in the NBA and these players. In the meantime, it's real craziness if you start to go to one of those chain auto shops to get something to fix your car or just get something for your car. Don't do that, because you go into one of those chain stores, what are they really going to have in there? They're going to have a limited selection. They're trying to carry a little bit of everything so somebody can walk in and walk out with a part. But in reality, you want to go to rockauto.com because they have a huge selection. And instead of paying 30 to 50 to 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store, you can go to rockauto.com and get it for a lot less. For example, a fuel pump assembly for a Honda Odyssey, $354 at Advance. It's $217 at rockauto.com. It's very easy to go. Do that. Check it out. This huge library catalog of all of the things that you'll need. Everything from advanced stuff like that to brake lights, tail lamps, motor oil, new carpet, any of that stuff. That's all at rockauto.com. And the prices are the same for pros and do-it-yourselfers. So go to rockauto.com. Check out all the parts that are available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know that we sent you. It's an amazing selection at reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Boston Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
If you've listened to this podcast enough, or one of the other podcasts that I'm on, I feel like I'm doing a million podcasts lately, but my consistent message about this bubble is, I think they can pull it off if the players buy in, if everybody takes it seriously, and everybody understands that this isn't a joke. If something goes wrong, if you bring coronavirus into the bubble, you potentially cost the NBA its season and hundreds of millions of dollars. And so I would think that in that moment of should I or shouldn't I do something that goes against the rules, a player would say, you know what? I don't want to be the guy that screws this whole thing up. I would like to think that teams, executives, the league have expressed to these guys, look, we get it. You're young, rich athletes who are used to having things a certain way. But for these next few weeks, for these next couple of months, we're just going to need y'all to just buy in. However, apparently not everybody's buying in. Already circulating around Twitter is a tweet from a nice young lady who says she was already invited into the bubble. That a player has slid into her DMs and invited her into the bubble. Now, I don't know exactly because it's Twitter and you don't know how that story goes for sure. But I saw Mo Bamba already tagging Donovan Mitchell in that, and I don't know what the hell that is, if he's busting Donovan's balls or what. But this is already one of the dumbest things that a player can do. You just got there. You shouldn't be hard up for company already. You just got there. You literally just a couple days ago got out of quarantine. It's been like a week. What are you doing? And then Dwight Howard has a video of him walking around without a mask on. And the rules are you got to walk around with your mask on. Okay? If you're going to be out, go out. There are things for you to do. There's pool and there's all sorts of stuff for you to go do. And there's Dwight Howard walking around, no mask, and live streaming it that he's walking around with no mask. Like, is that a big deal? I mean, theoretically, everybody's not, everybody doesn't have it. Like, everybody's negative for COVID. So, theoretically, everyone in there should be clear, okay? But we don't know that 100% for sure. And even though these guys pass these tests, You don't know what they're, you just don't know. You just don't know. So they're playing it ultra safe. Now, I don't think Dwight's going to catch it or spread it or anything like that. I don't think that's going to be the case. But, geez, dummy, don't live stream walking around this campus without your mask on. Put the mask on. And this is the attitude. These are just two examples. It took less than a week. These guys started getting there on the 8th. This is the show that's being released on July 14th. And this is supposed to last 3 months. And we're already getting these little things. How are we supposed to trust these guys to go out there and actually finish this? And damn it, Dwight plays for the Lakers. He plays for a team that is one of the favorites for a championship. I mean, I have to imagine that if LeBron sees that video, and I'm sure somebody's going to show LeBron that video, that he's going to have some words. And he should have some words for Dwight. He should. Because if I'm LeBron, I'm looking at Dwight like, if you screw this up for me, this is a chance to win a championship. Three different teams? This is a chance to, like, really cement a legacy. Not that it needs cementing, really, but it's a thing that's, like, LeBron is trying to do something historic here. And he's looking at Dwight out there without the mask already. I don't get it. I just don't get it. I mean, I do get it with Dwight. He's always been immature. He's always been a child. He's always just flouted whatever rules. He's never been able to comprehend, like, what a mature adult does. Like, that's just Dwight. So I'm not surprised. If I had to put money on who would screw this up, Dwight would be a, you know, someone that I'd throw a few bucks on. You know, there are some prime candidates. He's definitely at or near the top. But already? And this is going to be the killer for the NBA. It really is going to be the killer. Because somebody's going to screw this up. Somebody's going to think it's no big deal. Meanwhile, you're restarting this in the state that has screwed up the coronavirus response the most. And is breaking records for single day positive cases. They're all over the place in Florida. They're all over the place. And now with, you know, people complaining about food and people complaining about this or that, the NBA's, you know, everything's being done on the fly. So they're allowing, like, deliveries to be made. People can start ordering, you know, delivery from places that maybe it's not all the food that's being prepared on the campus. They're starting to let, like, certain things in. But that opens up the possibility of letting in the virus. And if Dwight doesn't like his food, and Dwight's the one that gets food delivered to him, and somehow something gets contaminated, and Dwight gets it, and he's walking around without the mask on, who else is out there without the mask on? And if you have an outbreak, the outbreak is what does it. The outbreak shuts the whole thing down. The NBA is not built, this plan is not built to withstand an outbreak. If guys get it, and you go down and it's just one individual, like we've always said, they treat it like an injury, that's fine. Go down, you're out for 2 weeks, just like you've sprained an ankle or sprained a knee. Okay, fine. But if you cause an outbreak, the whole thing's screwed. And if you've screwed the whole thing, then you get to be known as the guy who forever ruined this stretch of NBA history, because then you look, what's the ripple effect of screwing it up and having this shut down. The NBA loses millions upon millions upon millions of dollars. The owners get pissed off. The collective bargaining agreement gets ripped up because it's about to get ripped up anyway. They have to come to some sort of agreement for next season. And if the owners are pissed at the players because they screwed it up, then they're going to be fighting for things that the players aren't going to want to give into. And suddenly we've got ourselves a lockout or a strike and a season on the brink. So you come off of a season that was cut down by COVID and cut down by a moron, and then you go into a season that's going to be cut down by the labor strife that is a result of all of that stuff. And then when do we get basketball back? When do we get basketball back? The NBA then is in a serious, serious financial position. These contracts all start to get cut in half. These players who are waiting for big, big paydays, that's not going to happen anymore. You're going to be set back a decade. The salary cap's going to go back down to like $60 million instead of $120 million that it's supposed to be. That's what's at stake. That's what's at stake here. And that is just for the players and the owners. Never mind all of the arena employees, the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, thousands of people across the league, but hundreds for each team, each city that depend on working these games. Even me. You're not going to, I mean, how many media outlets are going to keep beat reporters for a league that doesn't exist? That's, jobs are on the line here. So it blows my mind. It just blows my mind. I'm going to leave it at that. I'm going to stop because hopefully what happens is the word gets out. This is very public. It's on Twitter. It's on social media. The league swoops in. Adam Silver pulls these guys aside and says, hey, are you dumb? What are you thinking? And then everybody maybe snaps back into reality. Maybe that video of Dwight Howard walking around with a mask without a mask gets him fined a significant amount of money, like a real big amount of money, and gets everybody to go, whoa, no, not me, man. I'm not going to get dinged $100,000, whatever, but it's going to be like a big amount of money. It blows my mind. When we come back, Carol Lawson is leaving the Celtics to go coach the Duke women's basketball program. It's a great story. Marcus Smart was awesome about it today. I'll tell you about that when we come back. Follow us on our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. Carol Lawson on Monday will be introduced as the new head coach of the Duke women's basketball team, and first of all, congratulations to her. That's an awesome thing for her. It's something she clearly wanted. Brad Stevens on Sunday talked to the media about a conversation that he and Kara had along with Brad's wife. He said they went out for a walk. They were talking about opportunities that might be next, and the Duke women's job was one of the things that she had her eye on. That their prior head coach went into the season without an extension. It was pretty clear that she was not going to come back. So people were starting to angle and, you know, make it known that they wanted to be in consideration for that. Carol Lawson was one of them. And she ended up getting the job. I'm glad she got it. I'm happy for her. The guys on the team, everybody's really, really happy for her. I am going to... I'm on the same side as a lot of the guys on the team. I think that I wish she could have stayed. I wish she would have stayed because she was obviously doing very, very well here. And she had a very bright NBA future. And I think it's important to have female voices in the NBA, diverse voices in the NBA, because just because somebody's gender or race or religion or any of that stuff, it doesn't mean that they don't know basketball. In fact, because she's a woman and she, you know, played basketball at a different level, and women play like a little bit of a different style of basketball. She brings to the game a different perspective. You know, being a point guard for a women's team is different than being a point guard for an NBA team. Okay, you're not running alley-oop plays. You're not running certain things. Guys are just, you know, they're much more athletic as far as being able to jump and catch alley-oops and stuff like that. So there's a little bit, just not great, but it's a little bit of a different dynamic. You know, you just got to run things a little bit more precisely on a woman's team. And that point guard, that mind of a point guard for a woman comes at it from just a little bit different perspective, you know? So I think it's important to have that different perspective. As many different ideas, as many different perspectives on things as you can get, I think is important and helps. It can only help. But she's got her own personal goals, and obviously becoming a head coach at a place like Duke is huge. It's huge. So, but Marcus Smart was awesome about it. He told a story about Kara. When she first got to Boston, Brad Stevens gave her a choice. You get first pick of who you get to work with. You can pick anybody in the team, because each assistant is assigned a couple of players, like 2-3 players, and that's the person that you work with all year long. That assistant coach is kind of in charge of that player. So she was Marcus Smart's shooting coach. So they would work together and work together on, you know, point guard stuff. So she also had Tremont Waters and also had Carson Edwards. And so Marcus was like touched by that, and the fact that she loved his all-around game, the way he played basketball. They developed a real bond over that. And just to hear Marcus Smart talking about it was really great, because, you know, they developed an instant friendship. And he says it's going to be a lasting friendship, that she's someone that he can talk to. She's someone that can give him advice. And just to hear how everybody's talking about her, Robert Williams, glowing things. Everybody says glowing things about Kara Lawson. It's really important to me. It's really important, I think, to the game, that this is something that is talked about, publicized, because there is an ignorant perception of women in sports that some people don't think that they are capable, that they are, you know, whatever, less than a guy. And that's not true. There's like absolutely nothing true about that. And the Kara Lawson example is a great example for the people of Boston, fans of the Boston Celtics, to see that a woman can come in and be a coach and have the attention and respect of the players on the team, and she can succeed and the players can succeed and they can help each other succeed. And by keeping open minds and being respectful, the Celtics had a great assistant coach for a year, and she had an opportunity to work with some of the best players in the world. And in the end, when she decides to leave and get a bigger opportunity for herself, the reaction of the guys on that team is one of like, God, I hate to see you go. And that's kind of, I think, when you're in that position, that's kind of a reaction that you want, right? Like, all right, I'm out of here. Like, oh man, I'm happy for you, but I hate to see you go. It's a great reaction. It's good for your ego. And that's kind of how everybody's reacting in on the Celtics. Like, everybody's super excited for her. Everybody's very happy, and they know that she's going to do well. But at the same time, it's like, sucks that you have to go, but we know you're going to do well, and we're very happy that you're getting something that you want. So I just think in the end, this example of her success, quick success, one season, that's important. That's important, and it should be highlighted. I don't know how much attention Kara Lawson leaving after 1 year as an assistant to go coach the women's program at Duke. I don't know how much attention that's really getting around everywhere, but I think it's important. And it's just one further step. At some point, we're going to have women who are head coaches in the NBA. And whoever that is going to earn it and deserve it. And we can like break another stigma. We're breaking a lot of stigmas lately. And hopefully this is going to be another one of them. So congratulations, Kara Lawson. That's the show. I want to thank everybody for listening. We'll get back to the historical stuff where we just finished up last week, Brad Stevens' first season in Boston. We'll get back to that and do a mix of things that are happening in the bubble and the historical deep dives, combination shows for the rest of the week. But I want to kind of just do one podcast here at the beginning of the week to kind of reset everything and the big stories and set us up for the week. Again, go check out the Locked On NBA podcast, me and Josh Lloyd on that one today, Monday. A lot of talk about Kemba, a lot of talk about Jason Tatum, and some talk about the rest of the league. So go check that out. Subscribe to this if you haven't. Follow on Spotify. And also, if you have done all of that stuff, a good 5-star rating, good written review would be awesome. Check out our title sponsor today, rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com. Tell them Locked On sent you. Thanks for listening, everybody. Now tell your smart device to play the latest episode of Rejecting the Screen.